In the book of Isaiah, we read there in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, the word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it came about that in the last days the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, or the mountain of the Lord, rather, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here we have one of those fantastic prophecies that we read of taking place hundreds of years. The prophecy was given hundreds of years before the fulfillment of that prophecy. We get another vision of that very same time when Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue, when he prophesied the coming of the kingdom. And we see how clearly it was to be in Jerusalem that the kingdom was to be established. And if we read in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, we can read there of the fulfillment of this promise. And one of the things there that catches my eyes and that we're going to be talking about this evening is that statement in the third verse there where it says, and that we may walk in his paths. We as Christians have a responsibility to do just that, to walk in the paths of the law, of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, the context again, I go on about that, but I don't apologize for it. The context of it says, for the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. How do we walk in the paths of the Lord? Well, it's really quite simple. We follow the ways laid down for us in his word. King David said, thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my way. He saw through the word of God the direction that he was to go in. And we need to look at the word of God in such a way as well. You know, I went up north of the river this week, and for me it's a bit like going to a foreign country. I get pretty bamboozled when I go to that region. And so what do? I look at the map and try to work out, first of all, roughly how to get in the general direction where I'm going, and then when I'm closer to the region where I need to be, I stop and really study the map and see, well, I'm going to turn right, then left, or whatever I have to do. But I have to use that map to show me the way. Well, we as Christians, we have a destination that we're going to, and not one of us has been there before. Doesn't matter whether you know what it's like north of the river or you don't know what it's like where we're going. We're headed for heaven. And the ways in which we are to find the way to go to heaven, well, that's found in the Word of God. That has to be our guide. God's Word is the guide that leads us in the way that we have to go. We need to be following his paths in order to reach the goals that we are seeking to achieve, that is, eternal life in heaven. In Psalm 119, it says, in verse 35, it says, make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Now, we have the commandments of the Lord. You know, it's kind of interesting that for many people, the idea that we have to obey the commandments of the Lord is something that they don't really want to do. But David in this psalm he said that he wanted to walk in those paths. In fact, he delighted in it. You know, it's kind of a little bit confusing, the mindset of people. They really don't want to be, these days, they don't want to be told what to do and where to go. Well, what then is the alternative? You know, it's said that when a man is lost, he won't ask directions. Well, I'm not going to ask, not going to comment on that. But just think about it. If you don't know where to go, and you don't know how to get there, and you don't seek to use anything to find that way, you're kind of going to waste your time. And people don't like have been told what to do by God. They like to just be able to do whatever they like. God tells us how we need to worship Him on the first day of the week. People don't like to do it that way. So they'll use musical instruments. They'll use multiple cups. And they'll use many other different innovations because that's what they want to do. Does the Bible say use musical instruments? Well, no, not in the New Testament. Does the Bible say use multiple cups when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Is that the path we have to go? Well, the question that I would ask is, how many cups did the Lord use? One. And what did He say? What was His command? His command was, do this. So, while there are people who really disdain being told what to do, we need to be a people who delight in the commandments of God. Rather than being seen as something onerous, something that really we don't want to do, well, the commands are the very things that are going to get us where we want to go. God is over all things. He knows what is best for us, and He only tells us what is best to do. He is our Father. That's why we can call out to Him, Abba Father. He loves us. He would not cause us to suffer through His commandments. He only wants what's best for us. Therefore, like David, we need to say, I delight in the commandments. In Psalm 25 and verse 4, it says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Clearly, we give that the indication that we are to be seeking to be taught the way that we have to go. We're seeking to be taught the word of God. Jeremiah talks about these paths in Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16, probably a passage that some of us know fairly well. It says there, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and seek and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk in it. You know, it's kind of interesting here. We have to be seeking the ancient paths. Oh, we all have had people come in here, and the reaction we often get is, well, it's kind of old-fashioned. Well, yeah. The church was established 2,000 years ago, and in some ways, I guess you could say, it is old-fashioned in those terms, but we have to seek for the ancient paths. Not that we have to think of it as outdated. Rather, what we need to think about is that the ancient paths are the best paths. Now, many people want to bring new things in, innovations, exciting things. And so you could go tonight down to various places in this area and go to their churches, and they would have an exciting and grand time. They would be clapping and dancing around. They would have all sort of modern music. They would have drums and electric guitars, maybe a brass section. And they would have new things. And you know, a lot of people want that. A lot of people want those things that are new. New and exciting. But that's not what we are to be seeking for. If you want to be entertained, well, be entertained in your own time, I say. We're not here to be entertained. What is the purpose of us gathering together for worship? It's not so that we feel good. It's so that we can praise God. That's our goal. Now, I believe we can feel good. We can feel excited about that and in doing that. And I'm not advocating that we have to be sitting here with sour expressions on our faces because, you know, if we had a good time, it would prove that something was wrong. I don't believe that for one instant. All I'm saying is that isn't our purpose. I enjoy coming to worship the Lord. I enjoy singing His praises. I enjoy fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a highlight of my week. I look forward to coming to the house of the Lord. But that isn't my focus. My focus is on God. So we need to be seeking for the ancient paths. And it says where the good way is, and we need to walk in it. We've spoken about that. And you will find rest for your soul. You know, Jesus, when he was talking about this very thing in the Sermon on the Mount, over there in Matthew chapter 7, says in verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it." And we understand that to mean there are people who miss out on that narrow gate and go the other way. They're not traveling on the ancient paths. They're not traveling on the way that God has asked them to. Verse 14 says, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it." We go on that path, that ancient path, go through that narrow gate, go through the narrow way, and we will find life. We will find rest for our souls. But Jeremiah finishes off this little reading by saying that they say, "We will not walk in it." You know, that sounds kind of sad when we think about it. But I've studied with a lot of people that, in real terms, have said that very thing. You show them what the Bible says. It says, "Yes, well, that might say that, but I don't want to do it." Well, no one can force them to. But they make that choice. And it really is a choice. When people refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord, they have made a decision. They've been shown the narrow way, but they have chosen to go the other way, not on His paths. As Jamie read for us this evening in Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." Can you improve on that? Well, no. If something is perfect, you know, it's almost hard for us to get a mind around that, that something can be perfect. I think of the car industry, where the latest model car is released and it's talked up and it's just so great, and they may not say it's perfect, but it's pretty much the next best thing to being perfect. Well, it's kind of interesting, 2 or 3 years later on, when there have been other models released, that car that was so good 2 years ago now is pretty much rubbish. But it says that the law of the Lord is perfect. That means that it cannot be improved on. It is perfect in every sense. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 we read, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. When we take the word of God, you know, we are equipped for every good work. That's because it's perfect. It's not a case that, okay, take the word of God and you're going to be equipped for most things. As you go out into this life, most situations you find yourself in, the word of God's going to suit you. It's going to, you're going to find it as a good guide for most things. No, back up. It says for every good work. Oh, but what about, no, it's every good work. How about this situation? Every good work. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That tells us that the commandment of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, we read, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This tells us that following his path means that there are certain things we have to give up. It means that we have to deny certain things in this life and focus on that which is to come. There are certain things in our lives that have to change when we are walking on his paths. We could say that we have to repent of our sins. There are certain aspects of our life that are to no longer exist. But that makes a lot of sense when we think of passages like Philippians 3 verse 20, where it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We live here on earth, and we witness all of the things that go on here on earth, but we do not participate in them all. Why is that? Well, it's because we're strangers and aliens here in this land. We don't have citizenship here on earth. We are baptized into Christ, and we are made children of God, and our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. So the customs and traditions of earth that we used to follow are no longer ours. We have to deny ourselves certain things, but that's okay, because the customs and traditions of our home is where we need to be focusing on. His paths will lead us to heaven. How should we lead our lives with that goal in view? Our home is in heaven, and we need to be seeking that home, because that's where we really want to be. Our time here on earth is only a transient thing. As I said this morning, we don't know when the Lord's coming. He may come today. He may come 2,000 years' time. But likewise, we don't know how long we're going to live for. How long will we continue to breathe air in and out? How long will our heart continue to beat in our chest? We don't know. But with every breath, every heartbeat, we need to be focusing on our goal. With every step that we take, we need to be looking at our goal, which is in heaven. In Psalm 23 and verse 3, it says that he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. the path that we are traveling on, his path, is a path of righteousness. In it, righteousness dwells. And as recognizing that, we need to live righteous lives according to his word. In First John 3, verse 7, it says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." So, we want to be righteous before God. Well, how do we do that? Well, we practice righteousness. We make it a part of our life. We want to be right before God. Well, it's our manner of life that we need to be focusing on. It's the things that we do. As we see, his paths are many and numerously faceted. We also see that in his paths we need to be obedient. In the book of Hebrews this time, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and he says, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Obedience is not something that is very popular at this time. People don't like the idea of having to obey. But we have a Lord. We have a Master. We are his servants. We are his slaves. He has asked us to do things. We need to obey those commandments that are found in his word. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now that lays it out pretty easily to understand. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Why is it that people have difficulty with that? Why is it that people say, "I love Jesus, but their manner of life says otherwise"? Why is it that people say, "I love Jesus," but they worship him in a way that he has not asked? Why is it that people say, "I love Jesus," but their focus is here on this earth rather than in heaven? We have a path that has been given to us. We know the way. We know how to enter that path. Well, what is the way? Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." We know how to enter that path. We enter through the blood of Jesus Christ, through obedience to him, and through our faith, we repent of our sins, confess his name, and are baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And we walk on his paths. We have a path to follow. We know where that's going. We know how to get there. Let us make sure that we continue to walk on that path. Let us ensure that we continue to follow his way. The song of invitation, we read in that, "If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way." Let's stand as we sing the invitation song. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I